welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. If you're a new listener, welcome. We pray that you're blessed and encouraged in your walk in the Lord. On yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at a brief episode in the life of Jesus found in John, the 9th chapter. And this was regarding a man who was born blind from birth. Just by way of quick review, the disciples asked Jesus, did this man sin or was his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said neither, but that the works of God might be manifested in him. And we see that Jesus put some mud on his eye, and he gave him a command to go to the pool of Siloam. And we here see the importance of obedience. God will work miracles when we're obedient to His word. Now, remember, this man was still blind, and it was much closer to go to Bethsaida than it was to the pool of Siloam. But he was willing, he was desperate. He had never seen a day in his life, but he responded in obedient faith. And the scriptures say, as he washed, his eyesight was given to him. And for the first time in life, he saw. But not only was that a radical life change in the natural, he had a spiritual experience. He knew that he had come in contact with divinity. When the Pharisees called him, in fact, it was interesting to see the response of everyone. The parents were basically cowards. They didn't want to incur the wrath or displeasure of the Jews. The Pharisees, of course, were judgmental. They hated Jesus. They were convinced he was a sinner, not of God. His friends didn't quite know what to make of him. His neighbors weren't sure, was that the same guy? But he had a profound, radical life change. He knew that this man was, in fact, in verse 33 of that chapter, he said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they basically cast him out of the synagogue. And it says Jesus in verse 35, when he heard of what happened to him, he searched him out. He found him. And he says, that's that I believe on the Son of God. And He was willing to face the displeasure. In fact, the Pharisees actually had power to stone him, but he had no fear. He rearranged his private priorities. He was willing to forsake all and follow this person, this wonder-working miracle man that had opened his eyes. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 7-8, Paul expresses a similar thought. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's just where this man was. He was willing to forsake everything and to follow Jesus. So when Jesus sought him out, he asked, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And so what was his immediate response? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Praise God. You know, he wasn't taught that, beloved, but his nature was to worship. He'd been touched by Almighty God. The hand of Jesus had restored sight to him, and he worshiped. He was willing to serve. He was living in awe of what had happened to him. And beloved, each one of us, as we've been born again and have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we've been redeemed. We've been born again. We have a total new set of values and priorities. Romans 12:1 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And it's interesting what was the result? The end of the story was that this man worshiped the Lord. His life was never the same. And beloved, when we've had that kind of experience, our life should be a life of worship. Don't you suppose that man, there wasn't a day that he didn't open his eyes and thanked God for the privilege, for the wonderful wonder of being able to see? He'd never been able to see from birth. And so, beloved, we were blind spiritually, but God has opened up our eyes. And how wonderful that is, that we can understand dynamics. We can understand things that even the wisest of the world can't grasp. It's hid from them because the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. So as we see this story concluding on the subject of worship, I thought it might be good to spend a little bit of time on the subject of praise and worship. It's been a while since I've done that. And I just want to share a few thoughts. Remember in 2 Chronicles, I think it was chapters 20, 21, that Jehoshaphat sent the singers before the army of the Lord, and it confused the enemy, the army of the Ammonites and Moabites, and they were totally defeated. And we see in Psalm 23, let me just take a moment to read that beautiful shepherd psalm, verses 4 through 6, where the word of the Lord says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Beloved, this is our normal position. Our cup really runs over. Now, sometimes our perception of that may be limited, but that doesn't do away with the reality of the fact that we are anointed and we're blessed beyond measure. And David concludes that psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, beloved, we just need to get in his presence, and we do that through worship. "But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel." And That Hebrew word for everlasting, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever," it means prolonged sunshine. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Well, let's share another example now in the Word of God where praise brought a tremendous result. And this, I trust, is a familiar passage found in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. We know that Paul and Silas had been put in prison. Verse 23 says, "When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And he put their feet in stocks." Verse 25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Beloved, when you're in the presence of God, the foundations of the work that the enemy has placed against you will be shattered, will be broken. Those things that he's tried to do to keep you imprisoned, God will deliver you. Whatever the shackles are in your life, if you really start praising God, if you understand who he is, how mighty, how merciful, how wonderful, beloved, whatever your prison doors might be, they can be opened, and you'll begin to see things in the Spirit. And you know what? That door is always open. It can never be shut. He has the key of David, and what he opens, no man can shut. Their bands were loosed. Jesus sets us free. That's something to get excited about, beloved. There's something so wonderful. There's something so powerful in being able to praise God. You know, it says in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. He came. That's why the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus to open up the prison house for those that were bound, to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when we will begin to praise, then that spirit of heaviness will be lifted. Remember I said, speaking about that man blind, born blind from birth, he had to obey God. If he had simply allowed Jesus to put the mud, the clay on his eye, and he didn't obey, I mean, it had to be quite an effort, because he was blind. He had to probably find someone to lead him, to get him there. But if he hadn't obeyed the Lord, that wouldn't have happened. So, beloved, as we can spend time worshiping God, praising God, we're going to see deliverance. God's no respecter of persons. And that's why God's given us his word. We can see patterns that are established. And if we will also follow them, we'll see deliverance. Some of you listening right now, you need prison doors open. You need shackles off of you. Let's take a moment to pray and praise God. Father, we come to you in prayer. And Lord, we just praise you for your goodness. We praise you, Lord, that you are a mighty God to deliver. There's none like you. You're the mighty one of Israel. And Lord, we just magnify your name. There's none like you in the heavens. And Father, I take authority over shackles, over prison bands, over things that are holding your beloved. And I proclaim deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Release them from every attack of the enemy. Release them from bondage, from shackles, from things the enemy would seek to put on them. Every yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And so, Father, I thank you right now. The anointing of God is reaching out to touch and to deliver your beloved, Lord, that they shall rise in the power of the Spirit of the Lord, and they will begin to praise you, for you are worthy of all of our praise. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to minister, and I believe we're going to continue on in this subject of worship on tomorrow's broadcast. Won't you join me? Thank you for listening. The announcer will give our contact information. If the Lord's moving on you, just send that email, write that brief letter, and I know you'll be blessed by what the Lord gives to me to send back to you and share with you. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,